some other interesting key to play it. We put it on the second fret and play in A, you get along fine.
Well, on the fourth in D.
The fourth in D.
Or the seventh in R8.
You know how to cable that thing? Set it right over the fret.
Well,
you can put on the speaker, like on that. Well, this goes through and out like a PA system. Do that. Put the, set it up for speaker.
Monitor.
No, I mean, just stop it.
You were about right.
You want to sit on this one, I'll sit on that one.
Nope.
Lee, come here, sit on this
one. No, that's fine.
Thank you. There was a large crowd of people watching them. Lots of people all. Well, that was fine with me, because I tell you, I like David, and I want to live with him forever and ever. And the best part about it was that I discovered that right near where David lived was a place that they called a zoo. That was a name for a valley where there were lions and birds and all sorts of animals that came from Africa, too. And David and I used to go over and visit the zoo and all the birds, and we had so much fun talking to our old friends. And so we lived happily ever after.
Well, that's the end of the story of Billy Brontosaurus. David, there are a few songs that follow that I recorded from the radio up here because I thought maybe Lee would like to listen to them. I hope you don't mind them being on your tape. Let her hear them, and you might enjoy them yourself. There are songs about World War II, most of them. In fact, one of them is the same song that those Negro boys recorded on the General Book. on one of my ships a long time ago. We have it on a paper record somewhere.
About to tell in 1941, the Second World War had just begun. Mr. Big Shot of Hitler went out to plan, Lord, to pick out a place called No Man Land. Well, he told his boy, you need not fear, cause I'm gonna be the engineer. We'll have a time,
my Lord.
Well, what a time,
my Lord.
Well, what a time,
we're gonna find out.
Pray to Britain, got the trouble in mind. She threw 65,000 on the firing line. Well, old Pray to Britain let out a cry for the United States, sending supplies. Well, we loaded our vessels and they started to cross. Well, the next thing we heard, our vessel was lost. Well, this made America very displeased. Old laid off for Hitler trying to rule the seas. Well, we sent him a message straight from home and said, man, you better leave our vessels alone or we'll have a time.
My Lord.
Yes, yes, Mr. Hitler. Hitler started out in 1932. Hitler started out in 1932. When he started out, he took them home from the Jews. We're gonna tear Hitler down. We're gonna tear Hitler down. We're gonna tear Hitler down someday. We're gonna bring him to the ground. We're gonna bring him to the ground. We're gonna bring him to the ground someday. When Hitler started out, he took the Jews from their home. Hitler started out, took the Jews from their home. That's one thing, Miss Hitler, you know you done wrong. We're gonna tear Hitler down. We're gonna tear Hitler down. We're gonna tear Hitler down someday. We're gonna bring him to the ground. We're gonna bring him to the ground. We're gonna bring him to the ground someday. You ain't no iron. You ain't no solid rock. You ain't no iron. You ain't no solid rock. No, you ain't. What we making people say, Mr. Hitler, you is got to stop. We're gonna tear Hitler down. We're gonna tear Hitler down. We're gonna tear Hitler down someday. We're gonna bring him to the ground. We're gonna bring him to the ground. We're gonna bring him to the ground someday.
Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. Keep us here.
pieces if we could.
We bring the bird to order. I'll hit this bird to order.
Everyone of foreign race, we love the pure space. When we bring to the world disorder, when the Fuhrer says he is the master race, we hail, hail, right in the pure space. Not to love the Fuhrer is a great disgrace. So we hail, hail, right in the pure space.
Wished I had a peck. Wished I had old Hitler with a rope around his neck.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Come away, that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
Mussolini won't last long, tell you the reason why. We're gonna salt his beef and hang it up to dry.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Come away, that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
German army general staff, I guess they missed connection. Went 100 miles a day, but in the wrong direction.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Go away, that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
I'm going to Berlin, to Mr. Hitler's town. I'm going to take my 44 and blow his playhouse down.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Don't lay that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
Now Hitler went to Russia in search of Russian oil. The only oil he'll find there is a pot in which he'll boil.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Don't lay that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
Now, Mr. Hitler's traveling mighty fast, but he's on a one-way track. Started down that Moscow road, but now he's coming back.
Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Come away, that poor boy down, he won't get up no more. Hey, round, round, Hitler's grave, round, round we go. Come away, that poor boy down, he won't get up no more.
Today, up and down life's broad highway, whether Hitler died in old Berlin. Here's one thing I'm telling you, you can bet your life it's true. We forget, then Hitler lives again. Hitler lives if we hurt our fellow man. Hitler lives if we forget. Those who fought where heroes died, that our flag might float on high. We forget, Hitler lives, Hitler lives. I see buddies everywhere, mighty lonesome in despair. Got no home, got no job, got no friend. If their troubles you ignore, if you drive them from your door, you can tell the world that Hitler lives again. Hitler lives if we hurt our fellow man. Hitler lives if we forget. Those who fought where heroes died, that our flag might float on high. We forget, Hitler lives, Hitler lives.
That was the story of the rise and fall of Adolf Hitler, as told by Lenny Bruce, some prisoners on a Texas prison farm, Lead Belly, Spike Jones with the City Slickers, Pete Seeger with the Almanac Singers, and Ed Badeau. Next time on this recorded program of Songs with Social Significance, Bill Friedland and Joe Glazer will perform several songs kidding the American Communist Party line of the 30s and 40s. With a reminder to you to let me know if there are any songs you'd like rebroadcast on the last program in this series, this is John Oliger wishing you good listening over Pacifica Radio.
Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you.
These are the listener-supported stations broadcasting from Berkeley, KPFA and KPFB. To KPFA, Berkeley 4. And now KPFA presents programs for young people, heard every weekday at this time from 5 to 6. Here's Judy Brundine to tell you all about today's programs for young people.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Young People's Program. First of all, Stories for Young People. Another one today read by Toby Halpern is called Petunia Beware. And then another story, this time The Tale of Peter Rabbit. Yet another story follows that, this time a German fairy tale, the story of Caleb Stork. And then lastly today, another in our series, Signposts for Young Scientists. So let's start in right away with Toby Halpern reading Petunia Beware. This is the first of a series of stories she will read by Roger Dubuisson.
Roger Dubuisson was born in Geneva, Switzerland. As an artist, he had troubles making trees because there were so many leaves on it. So his grandfather helped him with that. Also, another trouble was making horses' hoofs. To Roger Dubuisson, they looked like gigantic shoes, so his godmother helped him with that. Roger Dubuisson won the Caldecott Award for illustrating White Snow, Bright Snow by Alvin Tressel. His father was an architect. He now lives in Gladstone, New Jersey. Books by Roger Dubuisson that he wrote and illustrated are A Little Boy Was Drawing, And There Was America and Christmas Whale, Petunia Takes a Trip, Petunia's Christmas, Petunia Beware, The Three Sneezes, and Other Swiss Tales, and They Put Out to Sea. The books Roger Dubuisson just illustrated are Happy Lion by Louise Fadio and White Snow, Bright Snow by Alvin Trescott. Today I'm going to read the book by Roger Dubuisson called Petunia Beware. Petunia never ate what she had in her own dish. Hoping for a better treat, she always ate from her friend's dishes. She never touched the grass on her side of the fence, but always clipped what she could from the neighbor's meadow. Foolish Petunia never liked what was in her own yard. She wanted only what she didn't have. Oh, she sighed, looking through the fence at the grassy hills across the stream. Think of the fine meals I am missing every day. How green is the grass on Windy Hill. Noisy, she said to the dog, let's leave our yard and taste the wonderful green grass in the meadow beyond the fence. I never eat grass, yawned Noisy, which shouldn't stop you from going alone, but be wild animals. Foolish Petunia flicked her wing feathers and walked out into the wild, wild, greener world. She plucked some grass from the neighbor's meadow, but the grass wasn't a bit greener. It wasn't a bit tastier. It was the same grass. Well, she said, I'll have to walk on further. Good morning, Petunia, said the rabbit, popping out from under a stump. Where are you going? Good morning, Mr. Rabbit, said Petunia. I'm going to the next meadow to eat the greener, tastier grass under the old oak tree. Beware of the cruel weasel, Petunia. He poked his nose under my stump this very morning and gave me such a fright. Petunia pulled a beakful of grass from under the big oak tree. But the grass wasn't a bit greener. It wasn't a bit tastier. It was the same grass. Well, she said, let's walk further. Good morning, Petunia, said the woodchuck, peering out of his hole. Where are you going? Good morning, Mr. Woodchuck. I'm going to that meadow beyond the dogwoods to eat the greener, tastier grass. Beware of the fox, Petunia. I smelled his tracks past the stone fence this very dawn. The thief. Petunia pulled a few blades of grass from the meadow beyond the dogwoods. But the grass wasn't a bit tastier. It wasn't a bit greener. It was the same grass. Well, she said, I'll just have to walk on further. Good morning, Petunia, chattered the chipmunk, sitting up straight on a maple stump. Where are you going? Good morning, Mr. Chipmunk. I'm going to that meadow at the edge of the brook to eat the greener, tastier grass. Beware of the fierce old raccoon, Petunia. He peered into my hole this very morning, but my hole is too small for his claws. When she reached the meadow at the edge of the brook, Petunia could hardly believe that the grass wasn't a bit greener. It wasn't a bit tastier. It was the same grass. Well, she said, let's walk further. Good morning, Petunia, said the deer, browsing at the edge of the wood. Where are you going? Good morning, Mr. Deer. I am going to the meadow on top of Windy Hill to eat the greener, tastier grass. Beware of the bobcat, Petunia. It slunk past the deer crossing early this morning. When Petunia reached the top of Windy Hill, she could hardly believe it, for the grass was not green. It was not tasty. It was dry grass. Well, she said, looking downhill at her farm below, how very green the grass looks in the meadow near the barn. I never thought my own meadow looked so green and tasty. Let's walk back. Why, hurry, Petunia, said a little voice behind her. You are the loveliest, fattest goose I have ever seen, and I am so hungry. It was the cruel weasel. Yes, do stay, Petunia, said a rasping voice behind a bush. Do not listen to the kind words of our friend. The weasel will not touch you one of your feathers while I am with you. It was the fox. Yes, don't leave quite yet, Petunia, said a silky voice from the long grass. Do not fear weasel and fox while I am here. It was the fierce old raccoon. Yes, do wait a while, Petunia, said a soft purring voice from the clump of birches. Weasel, fox, and raccoon will not harm you while I am protecting you. It was the bobcat. Petunia was so cold with fear that she could not move. She closed her eyes and thought of her farm in the lovely green valley. The four greedy rascals leaped forward all together. They crashed into a hissing, yowling, clawing, biting jumble. The jumble looked like a four-headed dragon with 16 legs and four tails. Petunia gathered all her strength and rushed downhill, half running, half sliding. She was too heavy to fly well. She had reached the meadow at the edge of the brook when her enemies saw that she was gone. They ran and tumbled down the hill after her, over the brook, past the dogwood trees, and through the meadow, but they were too late. As Petunia honked faintly, reaching the neighbor's meadow, Noisy the dog dashed out barking loudly and put Weasel, Fox, Raccoon, and Bobcat to flight. After Petunia had thanked Noisy, she recovered enough to pull a few blades of grass from her own meadow. And it was the best grass she ever tasted.
That story by Roger Duvoisin was read by Toby Halpern. And now to the tale of Peter Rabbit. This is a dramatization of the story by Beatrix Potter, which is narrated by Vivian Lee, The Tale of Peter Rabbit.
Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits, and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived with their mother in a sandbank under the root of a very big fir tree. And there was nothing their mother liked better than to busy herself at home, cooking and looking after her children.
Now, my dears, you may go into the fields or down the lane, but don't go into Mr. McGregor's garden. Your father had an accident there. He was put in a pie by Mrs. McGregor. Now run along and don't get into mischief. I'm going out.
Old Mrs. Rabbit took a basket and her umbrella and went through the wood to the baker's. She bought a loaf of brown bread and five currant buns. Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail, who were good little bunnies, went down the lane to gather blackberries. But Peter, who was very naughty, ran straight away to Mr. McGregor's garden and squeezed under the gate.
Oh, it is a tight squeeze. There, I'm through. Oh, look at those lettuces. I must have some of those. And those French beans. Delicious. And my, oh my, radishes. Oh dear, I think I've eaten too much. I must have some parsley.
Feeling rather sick, he went to look for some parsley. But round the end of the cucumber frame, whom should he meet but Mr. McGregor? Mr. McGregor was on his hands and knees planting out young cabbages. Suddenly he looked up and saw Peter.
Ah, a rabbit. He's been stealing my lettuces. Stop, thief!
He jumped up and ran after Peter, waving a rake. Peter was most dreadfully frightened. He rushed all over the garden, for he'd forgotten the way back to the gate. He lost one of his shoes among the cabbages, and the other shoe amongst the potatoes.
Oh dear, he'll catch me!
Stop, thief! He's stolen my radishes!
Oh dear, help! He'll catch me! I'll be rabbit pie! No, I'm winning! I'm going to get away!
Peter had run into a gooseberry net and got caught by the large brass buttons on his new blue jacket.
Oh dear, I'm caught now. This is the end of Peter Rabbit. I'll be rabbit pie. I hope I give him hiccups. I'm all caught up in this net.
Mr. McGregor came up with a sieve, which he intended to pop upon the top of Peter. But Peter wriggled out just in time, leaving his jacket behind him.
Hooray! I'm free!
Peter rushed into the tool shed and jumped into a whistling game.
Oh, dear. This would have been a beautiful thing to hide in if it had not had so much water in it. Oh, here comes Mr. McGregor.
I know he's in here somewhere. He's behind that brush. No, he's behind that sack of potato seed. No. Ah, he's under one of those flower pots. No. 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 No.
There he is. Come here.
Mr. McGregor was after him in no time and tried to put his foot upon Peter, who jumped out of a window, upsetting three plants. The window was too small for Mr. McGregor, and he was tired of running after Peter. He went back to work. Peter sat down to rest. He was out of breath and trembling with fright, and he had not the least idea which way to go. Also, he was very damp with sitting in the watering can.
Oh, dear, I do get in some scrapes, don't I?
After a time, he began to wander about, going lippity-lippity, not very fast, and looking all round. He found a door in a wall, but it was locked, and there was no room for a fat little rabbit to squeeze underneath. An old mouse was running in and out over the stone doorstep, carrying peas and beans to her family in the wood.
Excuse me, mouse. Can you tell me the way to the gate? It isn't very polite to talk with a pea in your mouth.
Peter was very upset because he couldn't understand the mouse, and he began to cry.
Come back. Oh, dear. She's gone. I'm lost. I'll try this way, straight across the garden.
Presently he came to a pond where Mr. McGregor filled his water cans. A white cat was staring at some goldfish. She sat very, very still. But now and again the tip of her tail twitched as if it were alive.
A cat? I don't think I'll ask her the way. I've heard all about cats from my cousin Benjamin Bunny.
He went back towards the tool shed, but suddenly, quite close to him, he heard the noise of a hoe. Scritch, scratch, scratch, scritch. Peter scuttered underneath the bushes. But presently, as nothing happened, he came out and, climbing on a wheelbarrow, looked around. The first thing he saw was Mr. McGregor hoeing onions. His back was turned towards Peter, and beyond him was the gate. Peter got down very quietly off the wheelbarrow and started running as fast as he could go along a straight walk behind some blackcurrant bushes.
There's that rabbit again! Come back! Come back!
Sorry, Mr. McGregor, I can't stop just now.
Peter ran as fast as he could, slipped under the gate, and was safe at last in the wood outside the garden. Mr. McGregor hung up the little jacket and the shoes for a scarecrow to frighten the blackbirds. Peter never stopped running or looked behind him until he got home to the big fir tree. He was so tired that he flopped down upon the nice soft sand of the floor of the rabbit hole and shut his eyes. His mother was busy cooking.
Peter Rabbit, where have you been?
Who, me? Nowhere.
Dear me, what a state you're in. And where are your clothes? That's the second little jacket and pair of shoes you've lost in a fortnight.
Mummy, I don't feel very well.
I'm not a bit surprised. Come along, off to bed with you, and I'll make you some chamomile tea. 1 tablespoonful to be taken at bedtime.
Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail had bread and milk and blackberries for supper. But Peter Rabbit was sent to bed.
Good with a Tell Me Again tale. Once upon a time, Kalulu the rabbit was in his little garden. Now Fisi the hyena had a garden on the other side of the river. Fisi was a very cruel and fierce animal. He was always trying to catch the monkeys up in the trees. And he was always trying to catch Kalulu the rabbit, too. But there wasn't a bridge across the river, and Fisi couldn't get into Rabbit's garden very well. Now, Kalulu the rabbit was hopping around his garden with his little hoe. Hip hop, hippity hop. Oh, my yams are growing, and my sweet potatoes. Soon I'll be able to dig them up and have some for dinner. And oh, my pumpkins are growing very well, too. But at the bottom of Rabbit's garden, there was a very tall banana tree. Every day, Rabbit put water on the roots of the banana tree. And sometimes he would take his little hoe and he would dig around the bottom of the tree to make the ground soft. And the tree was growing and the leaves were very green. And one day when Rabbit came out of his house, he said, "Oh, I'm going to have some bananas." There were a whole lot of bananas right on top of the tree, growing, only they were still green. They were not good to eat yet. Now Fisi, the hyena, had a banana tree at the bottom of his garden, too. The two banana trees almost touched each other over the river. But Fisi was a very lazy animal. He did not put much water on his tree roots, and he didn't dig around and make the ground soft and throw the rocks out of the way. So his tree was not very big, and there were no bananas on it. But Kalulu looked up at his bananas, and he said, "Oh, good! Soon my bananas will be yellow and ripe and juicy. Then I will pick them. And then I will make banana cream pie and banana ice cream. And I will have a feast, and I'll ask all my friends to come. Kamba the tortoise, I'm glad you came by my garden today. Look at my banana tree. The bananas are getting ripe. When do you think we'll be able to cut them down?"
"Maybe tomorrow," said Kamba.
"Maybe the next day. Maybe 2 days, because they're not quite finished getting ripe yet. Will you come, and I'll make you a lovely, lovely banana pie if you come."
"All right, only Kalulu, I saw Fisi in his garden. early this morning, and he was looking at your tree. You'd better cut your bananas quickly as soon as they're ripe. Cece, he wants to eat your bananas up. He's very mad because there are no bananas on his tree. Oh, I hope he doesn't come. Do you think he really will come by the tortoise? I think he will. So you better pick all your bananas as soon as they're yellow. All right, Kamba, and I'll tell you when you can come to my party, and you can eat some of them with me, too. All right, I'm going home now, said Kamba, and he trotted off to his hole. Now, that evening, Cece the hyena was coming out of his den. Another hyena was coming along the trail in the woods, too. This was Cece's cousin, Mabunda. Mabunda was a much bigger hyena than Cece.
Hello, Cece. How's your banana tree growing? Are the bananas growing quite well on it?
No, no, said Cece. And look at Kalulu the rabbit's tree. He's got a whole lot up there. I wish his tree would fall down over the river. I wish his bananas would fall into my garden. Then I could eat them up.
Maybe the tree will fall down and come into your garden, Cece.
No, I don't think it will, because there isn't much wind blowing, and I want to have those bananas too, said Cece.
Maybe a wind will blow tonight, said his cousin. Maybe it will blow those bananas into your garden.
Maybe some animal will be walking along in the dark in Kalulu the rabbit's garden. Maybe he will bump into the tree, and maybe he'll push it down.
Do you think he will, said Cece?
Yes, I do, said Mabunda.
And if they do fall in your garden, mind you share them with me, Cece the hyena, or I shall bite you the next time I see you. And the bad hyena went off on his way.
Said Cece. Maybe I'll go hunting tonight, and maybe I'll come back and walk in Kalulu the rabbit's garden, and maybe I'll bump into his banana tree, and maybe it will fall down over the river, and all the bananas will fall into my garden, and then I'll have a lot to eat, and Kalulu won't have any to eat. But he didn't tell Kalulu the rabbit.
That night, Kalulu looked at his bananas. Tomorrow, I will cut them down, because I think they'll be quite ripe enough. Then I'll give Kamba the tortoise some, and I'll have some, too, and the other rabbit shall have some. I'm so tired, I think I'll go to bed early tonight. And Kalulu crawled into his rabbit hole and curled himself up and went fast asleep. And it was very dark. And just after Rabbit had gone into a deep sleep, there was a funny little rustling noise close to his garden. And suddenly, there was an animal pushing his way through a hole into Kalulu's garden. It was Cece the hyena, on his way back home from hunting.
Now's my chance. That rabbit's asleep. I know he is. Now I'll run and bump into his banana tree. And Cece made a great big jump, and he jumped into the banana tree, and he butted it with his head, and he pushed it with his front paws. And the poor banana tree just couldn't take that big blow. There was a great big crack, crack, crack at the bottom of the tree, and a great big swish, and a great big crash. And down fell the banana tree right across the river. It made a bridge over the water, and the bananas fell right into Cece the hyena's garden.
Ho, 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 said wicked Cece. I'll run across this bridge I've made, and I'll take those bananas into my hole and eat them up.
And the wicked hyena ran across the banana tree, which made a bridge for him. He jumped into his garden. He took out his little knife and cut off all the bananas that were really Kalulu the rabbit's bananas. And he took them off into his den, and he gobbled them all up. And then he went fast asleep because he was so full up with bananas. Next morning, Kalula the rabbit woke up very early. Goody, goody, this is the day I'm going to have my bananas. They're so ripe and juicy. And I'll have all my rabbit friends to a party. And I will ask Kamba the tortoise and all the little tortoises and Mrs. Tortoise to come. I'll go and cut them down now, or Feecy the hyena might come and get them. Rabbit ran out into his garden. Standing up anymore. Oh dear, something happened to it in the night. It's fallen down and it's in Feecy the hyena's garden. I wonder what's happened to the bananas. The tree had made over the river, and when he got into Feecy's garden, luckily Feecy wasn't there, he was still asleep, he looked at the top of his tree that was lying in Feecy's garden. My bananas are all gone. I think that Feecy the hyena did that. I think that he pushed my tree down when I was asleep last night. Come with the tortoise, come and see. What do you think happened to my tree? It fell down while I was asleep, and the bananas fell into Feecy's garden, and they're all gone, and now we can't have that banana party we were going to have. Kamba came along and put his head just on the edge of the river and looked across into Feecy's garden. You'd better get out of there or Feecy will get you. No, he won't. He's asleep. He's full up with my bananas. What shall I do? Now I can't have my beautiful bananas. Feecy got them. Well, said Kamba, maybe Feecy's tree will get bananas. Maybe then you could have some of his bananas, and you won't be so unhappy. And Kamba the tortoise looked up into Feecy's banana tree. Now, Feecy's tree was beginning to have bananas too, only they were still rather green. And they were growing, though. Every day they were getting bigger, and very soon the hot sun would make them yellow and ripe. Do you think that I could take Feecy's bananas before he cuts them? Then wouldn't that be good? We could still have the party. Yes, why don't you? Only get them the minute they're ripe, or he'll get them first. He ate your bananas up, so you ought to be able to have his bananas. Oh, good. I'll wait, and the minute they're yellow, I'll take them in the night time. Well, a few weeks went by, and those bananas on Feecy's tree were getting really ripe and juicy. And Rabbit thought, tonight I'll get them when Feecy's asleep. And then he thought, no, maybe I'll get them very early in the morning, because Feecy goes out hunting at night, and I might bump into him in the dark, so I'll wait till he gets home. But Rabbit was so hungry he couldn't wait for the morning to come. It so happened, though, that just before Rabbit thought of this plan, Feecy was down in his garden and his cousin came by. And his cousin Hyena said, Feecy the Hyena, I see you have bananas on your tree that are almost ripe enough to eat.
Yes, I have. And I'm going to eat them all myself, said Feecy. So don't you come around and try and get some.
Then his cousin Mabanda said, are you sure you're going to eat them up? I think Kalula the rabbit's going to eat them up. I heard him talking to Kamba the tortoise, and he said he was coming tonight to get them. You'd better set a trap to catch Kalula, or you won't have any bananas to eat tomorrow.
That rabbit! I'll catch him, said Feecy, coming to get my bananas in the night.
Hi, Mabanda. Get a shovel and we'll dig a big pit in the ground close to the tree, and we'll cover it up with grass and leaves. And when that rabbit comes, ha ha, he'll step on my trap, and I'll get him. Then I'll have rabbit pie as well as bananas to eat tomorrow.
I want some too, said the other hyena. But you know a pit isn't enough. He might see the pit, even though you cover it up. Put a net
close to in the bushes to catch him if he tries to jump out and run away. You can have two traps close together. Then you'll surely get him. And the hyenas dug a pit in the ground close to the banana tree. They made it very slippery and muddy. Then they put branches across the top and made a roof over the hole. And they put grass and leaves so you couldn't see it. And then, close to the pit, they spread a net among the bushes to catch a little rabbit, even if he didn't get into the pit. Then they hid in Feces' den and waited. That night, Kalulu the rabbit hadn't gone to sleep at all. Now, I'll go and get those bananas in Feces' garden. So he started out, he ran down his own garden, and he ran across the banana tree over the river, and then he stopped before he stepped into Feces' garden. Maybe Feces has made a trap to catch me, said Kalulu the rabbit. I'd better be careful if I go close to that banana tree. So he stepped very carefully. He took a stick and he put it in front of him and he stuck it in the ground all the way along in case there was a trap waiting for him. And when he got close to the banana tree, Kalulu put his stick on the ground and touched it, and the whole top of the ground gave way, and Rabbit nearly fell into the pit trap, and he hopped away from the edge. Oh, that was close. I nearly fell into that. That's one of Feces' traps. And he jumped into the bushes out of the way of the trap. But oh dear, Rabbit jumped into another trap. It was the one made of the net to catch him. And his front paws and one of his back paws got caught in the net and he couldn't pull it out. He scratched and he pulled and struggled and scrabbled, but he couldn't pull his paws out. And so he just got tighter and tighter in the net and it got all twisted round him and knotted around him and he couldn't get away. He tried to bite with his teeth, but he couldn't bite through all the strings. So he just had to lie still and wait.
Ha, 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 said Feces' voice. Ha, ha, so here you are, Kalulu the rabbit. I thought you'd come to get my bananas. No, I've got you, and I'm going to make you into a rabbit pie. I'm going to make you tonight into a rabbit pie. But first, I'm going to tie you up and save you so I can eat you tonight. Poor Kalulu, he knew if he didn't think of a trick quickly to trick Kalulu the rabbit, to trick Feces the hyena, well, he would be eaten up and made into a pie. But all at once he began to talk out loud to Feces, and he said, Oh, Feces, please, please don't tie me up in banana leaves. Oh, Feces, you can tie me up in a tight rope, but don't tie me up in banana leaves. Please, Feces, please, please. Don't tie me up in banana leaves.
Oh-ho, said Feces. You don't like to be tied up in banana leaves? Very well, I shall tie you up in banana leaves.
Oh, no, 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 said Rabbit, pretending to be very afraid. Please, don't.
That's just what I thought of doing to you, said Feces. And he took out his knife and cut down some very long, tough banana leaves. Now, really and truly, this was a trick. It was just what Rabbit wanted him to do. Then Feces took a whole lot of banana leaves, and he wrapped them all round Rabbit. But first of all, he took him out of the trap, so Rabbit wasn't tied up in the net anymore. And then he put banana leaves around him like a great big green parcel. And he put more banana leaves around him, and more, so very soon Rabbit looked like a big cocoon, as though there was a moth or a butterfly inside waiting to get out. Only it was a great giant one. And more and more and more banana leaves, and Rabbit kept saying, Oh, no, no, Feces, no more banana leaves, no more banana leaves. Well, now I'm going to tie them around the outside with this vine, said Feces. And he put a vine around the outside of the banana leaves, and he made a knot and tied it up. And there was Rabbit as though he were inside a great big parcel, as though it were a big birthday present that somebody had dropped there on the ground. Now, I'm going off to my den to sleep, said Feces, and when I wake up, I'm going to untie you, and I'm going to cook
you in my pot for my supper. And Feecy went off to go, and he went to sleep. Now the sun was beginning to get very, very hot. And you know, when the sun is very hot, banana leaves begin to get brown, and they get very brittle. And it's very easy to break them, and they also shrink a lot and tear a lot. And Kalulu was inside, and it was getting hot and stuffy in the banana leaves. I think Feecy has gone off to his den to sleep until tonight. Oh,
I think you can figure out how this story ends. I haven't got room on the tape, but he gets away, and the hyena comes running out and falls in his own trap, and the rabbit takes the bananas home and has a feast for the turtles and all the other animals, and lives happily ever after. And shame on the old bad hyena, because he tried to steal the rabbit's bananas and he got cheated out of his own. So that's the end of that story. I don't think she's a very good storyteller, do you? But it wasn't too bad a story. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.